They are all around us. We encounter them every day. As we drive down the road in our cars, every time we go to the medicine cabinet and we pull out a pill bottle, we see them. We hear them on the nightly news just about every night. What am I speaking of? Warnings. Warning signs. We drive down the road and we see a little sign that says, "Bridge freezes before road surface." What is that? It's a warning sign, right? Or, "This part of the highway is patrolled from above." What is that? Warning, right? Or we reach for a medicine bottle. If you look at most bottles, medicine that you get over the counter, on that label there are warning, warning. Or if you get a prescription, they give you 2 pages of warning along with the prescription. Or have you noticed on the television when they advertise some of these drugs or medicines? They show a group of people and they're smiling and they're having a great time, and "I've been taking this medicine and now I feel really wonderful." And what do they say then? "Side effects may include." And then they'd be, you know, heart attack, kidney failure, liver failure, your hair may fall out, your teeth may fall out, there's birth defects, and they go at the rate or speed of an auctioneer on steroids. You know, do you ever hear that? I mean, and by the time they're done, I am sure I am never going to take that drug. Because I may die without it, but I will certainly die with it. Warning. Warning. And then a week ago Saturday, was 9/11. And you remember Homeland Security? You remember before Homeland Security? But you remember when they started out, they would have the different color codes warning against a terrorist attack? Do you remember that? Warning, we're at orange now, or we're at red. They'd warn us. Last week I was listening to Fox News, and they had, and I forget who it was, but I think it was a general that was on there. It could have been a previous general, but he was saying, "Now that we have gotten out, we so quickly got out of Afghanistan, we are watching a great influx of terrorist groups, Al-Qaeda, ISIS, ISIS-K. And he said, "I think we should expect another terrorist attack on our homeland in the next 1 or 2 years." Warning! Warning! See, they're all over the place. They're all over the place. But do we realize, you know what? They're all over the place in God's Word. They're all over the place. In fact, the word "warn," "warns," "warned," "warning" occurs 55 times in the New American Standard Bible. 55 times. The first warning in the Bible, do you know where it is? Genesis 2. Because God put man in the middle in the garden and he said, "Man, you can eat of any tree in this garden, any tree, except the tree that is in the middle of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Don't eat of that tree." Why? "For the day you eat of that tree, you shall surely die." Or in the original, "die dying." You are going to die if you eat of that tree. You know what that is? That's a warning. And we all know what happened, right? Man did not heed God's warning. And there was disastrous results through one man. Sin entered into the world, and death through sin. And thus death spread to all men because all sin. What consequences? You know, when you don't heed the warnings of God, there are dire consequences. God gives us warning. What is a warning? To warn is to notify someone of impending or probable or possible danger or evil. And God warns us. The first warning in chapter 2 of Genesis. Where's the last warning in the Bible? The book of Revelation, almost the last verses, verse 18, chapter 22, 18 and 19 of the book of Revelation gives the last warning in Scripture. You know what that is? If anybody adds to the words of this prophecy, I will add to him the plagues that are found in this book. Ooh. And if anybody takes away from the words of the prophecy of this book, I will take away their part in the tree of life and of the city of holiness. Wow. Warning. Don't add to this book. Don't take away from the prophecy of this book, or there will be dire consequences. Like bookends. Right from the beginning, all the way to the end, God is giving warnings. In fact, in Scripture, there are hundreds, maybe thousands. I want to do a study of that. I really do. Of the warnings God gives. Because God loves us and He gives us warnings, and He wants us to heed those warnings. Because if we don't heed the warnings, hundreds, maybe thousands of them, it ends up with dire consequences. Now, with that in mind, I want you to take your Bibles, open them up to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. You remember that Matthew 5 through 7 records the greatest sermon ever preached by the greatest preacher that ever lived. It is the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus preaches this sermon. And in verses 15 through 29 of chapter 7, Jesus concludes his sermon with several warnings. Several warnings. In fact, there are three warnings here. Three warnings that we all must heed to avoid disaster. What are they? Three warnings. Warning number one. The warning concerning false prophets. The warning concerning false prophets. Look at verses 15 through 20. He says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? So every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad trees bear bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, and nor a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then you will know them by their fruits." Verse 15 begins, "Beware of false prophets." Now, folks, if you know your Bibles, you know this to be true. Old Testament, many, many false prophets. There were many false prophets during the Old Testament times. New Testament times, Jesus points it out and says, you know what? Beware of false prophets. There are false prophets in the New Testament times. And then in church history, If you know your church history, filled with false prophets all along. But folks, listen. This warning is especially relevant to us who are living in the 21st century. Why do you say that, Pastor? Because of what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 24. He says in Matthew 24, let me tell you what it's going to be like before I come back. Here's what it's going to be like. And he gives us the signs of his coming. But the number one sign that's repeated several times in Matthew 24, the number one sign that's going to take place before Christ returns, he says, many false prophets will arise and will mislead many. And he says that like three or four times in Matthew 24. You want to know when I'm coming back? I'll tell you what, there's going to be a proliferation of false prophets. And I would say, listen, this was relevant when Jesus preached it. It's been relevant all along in church history. But this is extremely relevant in the day in which we live. So we need to heed the warning Jesus gives here. Beware of false prophets. Now, let me give you, first of all, the description of first false prophets. You see verse 15? Look at verse 15. The description of false prophets. Note, first of all, they are diligent. They are diligent. He says, beware of false prophets who come to you. You never have to look for a false prophet. You never have to search for one. They will come to you. They will come to you. This is what we find. You look up all the passages in the New Testament that talk about false prophets. You know what you find? You find that they are diligent. They are coming to you. Acts chapter 20, Paul says this. He's speaking to the Ephesian elders. And he said, he warns them. He says, fierce wolves will come in among you. They're going to come to you and not spare the flock. Matthew 24, for many will come in my name, Jesus said. They'll come in my name and will mislead many. 2 John verse 10 states, if anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house and do not give him a greeting. You see, folks, false prophets are diligent. They are diligent. They are determined. They are dedicated to spread their false doctrines and lies. They're zealous. They will come to you. Is that true? How many of you have had a Jehovah's Witness, a Mormon, or some other cult member come and knock on your door? Raise your hand. Look at that. I'll tell you what, they will come to you. They're diligent. In fact, they'll come right into your living room through your television, on your computer, on your iPhone, because they're diligent. They're diligent. They're working. They'll come to you. But look at also, not only are they diligent, they are deceptive. They're deceptive. Jesus continues, who come to you in sheep's clothing? In sheep's clothing. See, in the Old Testament, the garb of a prophet was a cloak made out of sheepskin. 2 Kings 1:8, the prophet Elijah wore a mantle, which was a hairy cloak made of sheepskin. You see, the sheepskin cloak became the uniform or distinguishing mark of a prophet. But what Jesus is saying here is not everyone who comes to you in a sheepskin is a true prophet. Not everyone who looks outwardly like a prophet, in fact, is a true prophet. False prophets are deceptive. They're deceptive. A false prophet is a man who comes to you. He appears, listen, appears to be thoroughly Christian. Thoroughly Christian. He quotes the Bible. He quotes the Bible. He may even have verses memorized. He may even use Greek and Hebrew. Because of this veneer, the false prophet deceives many. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 through 15. The Apostle Paul says this, "For even Satan disguises himself as a what? Angel of light." And it's no wonder that his workers disguise themselves as workers of righteousness. Their end will be according to their deeds. But you see, they disguise themselves. They look good. Listen, not everybody that gets behind a pulpit and opens a big King James or New American Standard Bible is necessarily even a Christian. They're deceptive. They disguise themselves. They look good. They look harmless. But you know a third description? They're diligent, they're deceptive, but they're dangerous. You see what he says there? But inwardly they are ravenous wolves. How many of you caught it? Do you know what I'm talking about? The front of your bulletin. How many of you saw that? Now you're going to look. What's on there? Who's right there? You thought it was all sheep. There's a wolf. Now you say, you better look at your bulletin. And Becky Carter said, read your bulletin. But they're dangerous. They come like ravenous wolves. You know, wolves were very prominent in Palestine in those days. They posed a threat not only to animal life, but to human life. One ancient document describes an incident where over 300 sheep were destroyed by a pack of wolves. Another document describes the mourning of two little children who were eaten by wolves. And when Jesus said these false prophets are like ravenous wolves, he was saying they are dangerous. They're like starved wolves. In fact, folks, listen. They are more dangerous than wolves. Because a wolf can only kill your body. A false prophet can lead you astray and lead you right to hell. A wolf can kill the outward man, but the false prophet can destroy the soul. They are dangerous. They're diligent. They are deceptive. They're dangerous. So that's the description. But what about the detection of false prophets? Do you see verses 16 through 20? The detection. Jesus says, you will know them by their fruits. You will know them by their fruits. He stated in verse 15, and then he states that same thing down in verse 20. Do you see that? Two bookends. Here's how you're going to know a false prophet. By their fruits. By their fruits. And then in verses 16 through 20, he tells us about that. He says, grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, and nor figs from thistles, are they? So every good tree will bear good fruit, and every bad tree bears bad fruit. Good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Do you see what he's saying there? I mean, if you go up and there's apples on a tree, pretty much it's an apple tree. You know, a grapevine doesn't produce something else. It produces grapes. And false prophets, how do you detect them? How do you know if somebody's a false prophet? By their fruits. First of all, the fruit of their mouth. Proverbs 13:2 says, from the fruit of a man's mouth, he enjoys good. If we are going to detect false prophets, we have to listen closely to what they say. What do they preach? What do they teach? The doctrine of a false prophet will reveal their true colors. So, several questions. I want to give you a couple questions you can ask people to determine whether they're a false prophet, okay? Several questions. Ask them this: who is Jesus Christ? Ask them that. And you know what I've had false prophets tell me? He's the Son of God. Boy, that sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Then follow up with a question. Follow up and ask them what they mean by that. Do you mean that Jesus is fully God and fully man? That he's the God-man, fully God, fully man? That he is eternal God come in the flesh? Is that what you mean? Ask them that. Because sometimes they use the terminology that we use, but they stuff it with their false interpretations. Who is Jesus? Is he the Christ of the Bible? Ask them that. Ask them this question: how does a person get saved? How does a person get saved? You know, I was sitting with a cult member and I asked him, how do you get saved? You know what he told me? He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, that sounds good. In fact, in Acts chapter 16, when the Philippian jailer came and fell down, he said, what must I do to be saved? What did Paul say? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, you and your house. Sounds good. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what I said then to the cult member? Is that all? Oh, no. You got to keep the whole law. I said, the whole law? He said, yeah, you got to keep the whole law. And you've got to get baptized in a Mormon temple. And you have got to get the Holy Spirit by the laying on of the Mormon apostles. And you have to, and then you have to join our church, the Church of Jesus Christ of the Latter-day Saints. Then you can get saved. Do you see what they did? They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, but that's not all. They get all those works in there. And the Bible says you're saved by grace through faith alone. Period. Not of works of the law, lest any man should boast. Ask them that. How do you get saved? Ask them one more question. If it doesn't become apparent by then, it should. It will. But ask them, do you believe in heaven and hell? Do you believe in heaven and hell? You know, most cults, Jehovah's Witnesses, they deny a literal hell. They say, no, that's not what that means. Ask them these questions, because you'll know them by their fruits. You'll know them by their fruits. The most important, therefore, listen, the most important discipline necessary for detecting false prophets is to know the book. Come on, give me an amen. Come on. I mean, know this book. This book is truth. This book is settled in heaven. This book, not one jot, not one tittle is going to pass away before all of it is fulfilled. Say, Jesus Christ. If there is ever a time when we as God's people need to study the Word of God, it is today. Because we need to know the Word of God. Not only know it, and we're going to talk about this in a minute, we need to apply it to our lives, to have our senses trained to discern good and evil. We need to apply the book, know the book, and apply the book to our lives. And then you know what happens? When somebody comes along, a false prophet, and they preach, the antennas go up. Warning, warning. That's not according to God's word. You will know them by their fruits, by the fruit of their mouth. You will know them by the fruit of their character. Secondly, examine their way of life. Words may deceive, but character in time reveals itself. A false prophet may be able for a little while to deceive people, but eventually his character will surface. John Calvin, the great reformer, said, "Nothing is more difficult than to counterfeit virtue." Harry Ironside, great man of God, great teacher, echoed that same sentiment. He said, "Whatever the professions men may make, it is the life that tells. Good men delight in purity and righteousness. Evil men grovel in that which is sinful and corrupt. Where grace operates," listen to this, "where grace operates in the soul, the good fruit of the Spirit will manifest in the life." Oh, isn't that good? Where grace is working in our soul. You can see it. It'll manifest itself in the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, long-suffering, self-control, faithfulness. You'll see it. And I'll tell you, it's hard to counterfeit for a long time virtue. You'll know them by their fruits, the fruit of their mouth, the fruit of their character, and the fruit of their ministry. The fruit of their ministry. Question is here to ask is this person leading others to faith in Jesus Christ, the Christ of the Bible? Are they leading people to Christ? Not is the person getting followers. Not is the person getting others to join their group. But is he or she introducing people to a saving relationship with Jesus Christ? Are they preaching, listen, the narrow gate and the narrow way? Remember last week? Are they preaching the narrow gate and the narrow way? You will know them by their fruits. Warning. Warning. Beware, folks. Listen. Beware of false prophets. Second warning. It's found in verses 21 through 23. It's the warning about false professions. Warning about false professions. Look at verses 21 through 23. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? In your name, didn't we cast out demons? And in your name perform miracles?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" These verses picture a person or people standing before the Lord at the final judgment. And you know what? Every one of us will one day stand before Jesus. The Bible says it. Every one of us. And these verses may be speaking specifically about the false prophets Jesus just spoke about, but they certainly apply to others also. One author calls this a dreadful warning. A dreadful warning. These standing before the Lord Jesus address him, "Lord, Lord!" But they're not getting into the kingdom. They're not getting into the kingdom. Because they've made a false profession. Jesus is pictured here as the judge. You remember he said, all judgment has been given to the Son. He's pictured here as the judge. And he sees, listen, he sees right through their profession. And this is brought out in two contrasts. First of all, it's brought out that the contrast between saying and doing, or professing and practicing. They say the right words. You know, some people have all the right Christian jargon. They know Christianese. Lord, Lord! They say the right words, but you know what? Their lives don't back up their lips. They talk the right talk, but they haven't walked the right walk. Their walk contradicts their words. They say, Lord, Lord. But do you see it there in verse 21? They don't do the will of the Father. They don't do the will of the Father. You see, this is a sharp contrast between a mere talker and a doer of, listen, God's will. Leon Morris states in his commentary, they say, Lord, Lord, quote, but their claim will be of no avail. Jesus says, unless their lives back it up, it is doing the will of the Father that matters, not the words we profess. Then he says this, and this is important. This is not salvation by works. The contrast is not between merit and grace, but between profession and by their what they profess and what they do. One commentator says, did my decision for Christ change my life? Does my walk back up my talk? If not, then examine yourself to see whether you're in the faith. Not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, I prayed the prayer, is going to get into the kingdom of heaven. The contrast between saying and doing. Now listen, does that mean that we have to be perfect? None of us are even close. We all sin. Every day. Every day. I hear all those amens in your heart. Because we do. We sin every day. But you know, when I got saved, my direction changed. I don't always do it perfectly. I fall short. But my heart is to do the will of God. That's a true Christian. You may fall every day. You may mess up every day. You may just grieve and Lord, why do I keep doing this? But do you want to do the will of God? Is that your heart? You can say, Lord, Lord. Jesus said, why do you say, Lord, Lord, and you don't do what I say? Right? There's a contrast between saying and doing. Then there's another contrast between, listen to this, and this is big, between doing and knowing. Between practicing and really possessing. Jesus says, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not in your name cast out demons? And in your name perform many miracles? Did we not prophesy in your name? Well, I remember a guy in the Old Testament named Balaam. And he prophesied in the name of God. And he was a false prophet. He wasn't saved. Didn't we in your name cast out demons? Do you remember those guys over in Acts 19, the sons of Sceva? Do you remember reading about them? The seven sons of Sceva? And they were going around casting out demons. You know what they were saying? I adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches. Come out of him. And you know what the demon, what did the demon say? Well, I know about this Jesus man. And I know about this Paul, but who in the heck are you? And he jumped on them and they fled naked and wounded. They were attempting and maybe casting out demons in the name of Jesus, but they were not saved. And then I remember in the Old Testament, Jannes and Jambres, the people, the magicians in the Pharaoh's court, that when Moses came in and threw down his rod and it became a serpent, they threw down their rods and what happened? They became serpents. They did miracles, but they weren't saved. I'll tell you what, you watch people on television and they claim to do miracles, they may not be saved. That's not the proof. How do you know that's not the proof of somebody being a real Christian? I'll tell you, there's one coming. His name is Antichrist. Brother Mike in the Revelation class is going to be teaching on this man. He's going to do great miracles. He's going to call fire down from heaven. He's going to be doing all kinds of miraculous stuff. And he's the incarnation of Satan. He's not saved. And did you see what they're saying here? Didn't we do this? Didn't we prophesy? Didn't we cast out demons? Didn't we do miracles? Didn't we? Who are they dependent on for their salvation? Come on, tell me. Themselves. It's what I do. Let me tell you, it's not what you do that's going to get you in. It's not what you do. It's not of works. There are going to be people on that day say, Lord, didn't I preach thousands of sermons for you? Didn't I teach Sunday school class for 30 years? Didn't I sing in the choir? Wasn't I a deacon in the church? It's not what you do. It's who you know. Come on, it's who you know. Do you see what Jesus says to the response to them? He says this. I never knew you. Depart from me. I never knew you. Now listen, not I knew you and you lost it. I never knew you. Do you see it there? They're coming up before the Lord thinking their good works are going to get them in. But they never came to know Christ. It's not our practice that gets us in. It's not what we do that gets us in. It's our knowing the Lord. It's a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what it is. Depart from me, I never knew you, you who practiced lawlessness. You see, doing is no substitute for knowing. Jesus says, I never knew you, I was never acquainted with you. If you look at these people, you would think that they were Christians. But Jesus wasn't fooled. He's not fooled. The Lord knows those who are His. He's not fooled. He never knew these people. You see, it's not religion that gets you to heaven. It's relationship. It is relationship. So the question is, you know what? Beware of false professions. I know a lot of Christians that sweat over these verses. As that one author said, this is a dreadful warning. I've had Christians come to me and say, Pastor, I don't want to get there and hear the words, depart from me. So the question is, have you trusted Christ? Have you put your trust in Him and the finished work on Calvary's cross for your salvation? Did you begin a relationship with Him? This is eternal life, that you may know Him and the Jesus Christ to whom He has sent. Do you know Him? Because if you don't know Him and you go before Him, you'll hear the dreadful words, depart from me. I never knew you. So if you have any doubt in your mind, listen, if you have any doubt in your mind, I'm going to ask you at the end of this message to come right here and just nail it down and just say, Jesus, I'm going to trust you fully for my salvation. You died for my sins. You said it is finished. The work is done. I, by faith, receive that gift. Oh, this warning. There's a warning against false prophets. There's a warning against false professions. And then lastly and quickly, the warning concerning false foundations. Verses 24 through 29. You see, verse 24 begins with the word therefore. And again, when you see the word therefore in the Bible, you always look to see what it's there for. And I think this therefore, I believe it refers back to the whole contents of this Sermon on the Mount. The whole contents. The Bible, listen, is never preached for information only. The Bible is preached for information, application, and transformation. That's why we come and listen to the Bible. Not to just, oh, I know all this stuff. We get this stuff and then we apply it to our lives. How does this make a difference in my life? How can this transform me and my walk with the Lord? Jesus has been giving principles of the kingdom living for here and now in this sermon. He concludes his message with some words about application. He speaks here of two responses to God's word and compares them to two foundations. First of all, there's the firm foundation. Verses 24 through 25. Look at 24 through 25. Everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. You see, when you hear God's word preached, or you read God's word and you apply God's word to your life, you act on it, you obey it, you're like a wise man that digs deep, puts in a deep foundation. Deep foundation. And your life will have strong foundation based on God's word. And the rain fell. The floods came. The winds blew and slammed against the house. And yet it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Now again, I've said this before, but I'll say it again. I am not a prophet. I am not the son of a prophet, and this is a nonprofit organization. But I'm going to predict something. Let me predict something. You'll check me out on this. Rain's going to come into your life. Floods will come into your life. There's going to be storms in your life. I predict it. I predict it based on what Jesus said. In this world, you have tribulation. You're going to have storms. But if you are in the practice, listen to me, of reading and studying God's word and hearing God's word, and you are not just reading it for information, but you are reading it for application and transformation, and you are applying it to your life, I'll tell you, when the storm comes, when the rains come, and some of you are going through it right now. I know it. You're going through it. Your life will have the firm foundation of God's word. You'll get through. You'll get through. Amen. You'll get through. Because we have the foundation of God's word. Firm foundation. But there's another kind of foundation. It's the false foundation. Look down at verse 26 and 27. He says, everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. Folks, you can hear 10,000 sermons. You can listen to WCRF 24/7. Where's Paul? Amen. I heard that. Amen. You can listen to all kinds of Christian speakers. And unless you apply what is said or what you read, you're like a person that builds their life on sand. You have a false foundation. And there's kind of a, we can be deceived. We can think, wow, I've heard all these messages. Aren't I spiritual? Not necessarily. I've been through the Bible 10 times. How many times has the Bible been through you? You see, when we hear the word of God and we don't apply it, he says it's like building, having a false foundation. And how do we know if we have a false foundation? The storms will tell the tale. Because when a storm comes into your life, the house built on the sand went splat. Remember that song? Little song? Little children's song? I know Becky does. The house on the sand went splat. And you see Christians just falling apart. And we got these problems. You know what? Everybody has problems. Everybody's struggling. Everybody's in a battle. Everybody. But how's your foundation? I think we should read the Word of God, and we should say, we should read it until it speaks to us. Then we should pray it back to God. Then we should write it down. Then we should share it with somebody that day. Listen, this is what God gave me. And maybe he just didn't give it for me. Maybe he gave it for you. You know, it's seed for the sower and bread to the eater. We've got to be applying God's word to have a firm foundation. This is a warning of hearing God's word without application. Revelation without application eventually leads to destruction because there's a false foundation. You know, God loves us so much. He loves you so much. He gives you warnings. Gives us warnings. He warns us against false prophets. I'll tell you, saints, study your Bible. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. Study your Bible. Be careful who you listen to during the week. There are good people. You want to know the good ones? Call Pastor Jeremy or myself. I'll tell you some good ones. I know some good ones. I don't know all the false ones, but I do know some good ones. Be careful who you listen to. Beware of false prophets. Warning concerning false confessions or professions. Do you know Jesus? Oh, please. If you don't know Jesus, you need to make that decision today. You come to know him by faith, by trusting in him. And I always say this, you don't get saved by walking an aisle or coming to what we call maybe an altar. But I call you to the altar to come and say, I want Christ in my heart. I'm not ashamed to do that. If you are uncertain whether you know the Lord or not, please, the elders will come. We will pray with you. We will help you come to Jesus, because I don't want anybody in this church or anybody listening online to get before God and hear those dreadful words. That should scare the heck out of us. And then today, what are you going to do because of the Word of God? How are we going to apply this today? Are you going to read your Bible? Are you going to take the gospel out and share it with somebody? How are you going to apply it so that you have a strong, firm, not a false foundation, but a firm foundation? Would you pray with me? Lord, thank you that you love us enough to warn us. Thank you, Lord, that you give us warning after warning. And Lord, it behooves us to heed the warnings of God. Because if we don't, we do it to our own hurt and destruction. So God, Holy Spirit, help us this day. Holy Spirit, work in each and every heart here. If a person needs to come and say, I want Jesus in my heart, bring them forward to this altar. I'll meet them here. If we need to be, just say, I'm going to dedicate myself. And again, I want you to work within me, Holy Spirit, to give me that hunger and thirst for the Word of God. That's how I'm going to respond today. Lord, just help us not to just be hearers of the word. Help us to be doers of the word and not merely hearers of the word, deceiving ourselves. Thank you, Lord, for your love. We praise you, God. In Jesus' name, amen.